Welcome to the Church on the Way podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. We hope it blesses you and encourages you in the faith. Enjoy the message.
Last week we learned the difference between following Jesus and walking with him. If you were here last week, we talked about the fact that many people walked with Jesus. When he was walking along the road, when he was going from one place to another, there would be crowds of people that would walk alongside. They would come up to Jesus and they would love to be in his presence. They would enjoy the proximity that they had with Jesus for a little while, the conversation, the walking alongside, but eventually they would peel off and they would go home. A lot of people walked with Jesus, but relatively few people followed Jesus. And the difference between walking with Jesus and following Jesus is great. Because to walk with Jesus, there isn't really a cost. It's kind of on your dime. It's your effort. You decide when to start. You decide when to stop. You decide when it works for you and when it doesn't work for you. You kind of walk alongside. And many of those people called him Lord even. But they didn't actually live as if he was Lord, because to follow Jesus meant something else entirely. It wasn't just your decision when to start or stop. To follow Jesus meant that you gave him your total life. It required a cost. And if God really knows what's best for us, then whatever the cost, to follow Jesus is worth it. Can I say that again? If God really knows what's best for us, how many of you think God knows what's best for you, right? God's God, I'm human, I'm limited, he's big. If God really knows what's best for me, then whatever the cost to follow Jesus, it's worth it. But we have to learn how to trust. You can't follow Jesus without trusting. He wants to give us life. But in order for us to give us life, we have to trust him with our life. He has life to give us that's greater than the life that we have, but I have to trust him with the life he wants to give me. I have to trust him with my life. It's kind of like this. Let me give you an analogy. If a friend came to you and said, hey, friend, I want to give you $1 million. How many of you would be pretty happy? Yeah. I want to give you $1 million. Yes. I would take that $1 million. But if the same friend said, in order for me to give you $1 million, here's how it has to work. You need to give me access to all of your bank account numbers. You need to give me access to your bank account numbers, and then I'll put $1 million in your account, and it's all going to be good. How many of you know that you would have to be pretty good friends with that person? Even with the promise of $1 million, you're not going to give your bank account numbers to people to mess with unless you totally trusted them. There's a handful of people in my life that I trust that much. But I'm sorry, most of you, I love you, but I don't trust you that much. If you came and told me you were going to give me $1 million, if I gave you my bank account numbers, I would have Abby's bank account number for you, and I would give my assistant, and she'd take care of it. No, we have to trust Jesus, not just with our bank account numbers, but with our entire life. He says, I have life to give you, and it's abundant life, and it's full life, and it's life that's amazing and incredible, but you're going to have to trust me with your life. I want to deposit this life in you, but you're going to have to open up your everything, your account numbers, your walls, the things that are holding back. I want to give you life, but you've got to open up to me. We learned last week from Luke 9 that when you're going to truly follow Jesus, there are no guarantees. When following Jesus, the guy came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you. And Jesus says, well, I got nowhere to sleep tonight. The foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man, and by the way, anybody who follows him, tonight we've got nowhere to sleep and we don't know where our next meal is coming from. There are no guarantees when you follow Jesus. And the way I think about that is there are no ifs. No ifs. Say that with me. No ifs. You don't get to say, Lord, I'll follow you if. If you give me a place to lay my head, if you give me a good paycheck, if you make sure I have a good spouse, if you make sure that I have a great house, if you make sure I have a good retirement, Lord, I'll follow you if everything goes good for me, if you do a miracle when I need it, I'll follow you if, and Jesus says, listen, I may do any or all of those things or none of them for you, but there are no ifs. You follow me regardless. Amen. You give me your life and I'm in charge of it, and that there are no ifs. You don't get to make conditions to following me. Last week we learned there are no guarantees when following Jesus. Last week we learned that delayed obedience is disobedience. The man who came to Jesus and essentially said, listen, my dad's going to die someday, and I'd love to follow you once that's all done, and once we've got the inheritance worked out, and once the family's all taken care of, then I'm going to follow you. He says, Lord, I will follow you, and I need to do all this other stuff. And what we learned last week was that if you're going to follow Jesus, it's not about saying, Lord, I'll follow you, and I have other things to take care of. Jesus says, I may let you take care of those other things, but you don't follow me adding on to the other things that you have in your life. You follow me, period. And when you're doing those other things, you're doing it as you're following me. I don't get to say it's Jesus and something else. When I'm following Jesus, I say, Jesus, you are the absolute Lord of my life. I don't have something else. There are no ands. Say that with me. There are no ands. So we learned that there are no ifs when we're following Jesus. There are no guarantees. There are no ands when we're following Jesus, because he calls us to obey, and we don't get to say, well, I'll obey you and I'll do this other thing. We also learned that we have to look forward and not backwards. The man came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus didn't say, don't say goodbye to your family, but he said, you know what? If your heart's divided and you're not looking forward, if you're going to look backward, you're not going to be fit to do it. We learned last week that there are no buts when you're following Jesus. Say that with me. No buts. No buts. No ifs. No ands. No buts. When you're following Jesus, it's total. Do you remember commercials? Anybody remember commercials? I hate commercials. Every once in a while, if I have to watch live TV, which I rarely do, I'll watch a commercial and I'll think, man, it's been a long time since I've seen a commercial. And I really don't enjoy them, and I skip through them as much as I can. I skip them. But there's one commercial that, it's a type of commercial. It's a genre of commercial. It's a motif of commercial that will never get out of my head. Even though it's been decades since I've actually seen one of these commercials. And it's an infomercial where they would try to be selling you something. Let's say knives. I don't know why I automatically go to knives. There must have been a lot of commercials for knives. And they would show you the set of knives that you could buy for, you know, 5 easy payments of $19.95 plus shipping and handling, which was like $300, right? 5 easy payments of $19.95. But if you order now, here was always the phrase, but wait, there's more. But wait, there's more. So they give you this great deal on a bunch of knives and you think, I'm not sure, but wait, there's more. If you order now, you get this specialized knife that can cut anything, you know? And then they bring a nuclear bomb warhead in and start slicing it. It's like, this guy, but wait, there's more. For free, you get this extra thing if you order now. Last week in Luke 9, we talked about no ifs, no ands, no buts, no guarantees, that obedience needs to be immediate, and then we move forward and not backwards. But wait, there's more. Jesus makes it clear that there's one more thing that there needs to be to truly follow him. And it's a true benefit, by the way, this thing that we're going to give him, this cost that we're going to be asked to pay. It's not just about a cost, it's also about the benefit, because Jesus wants to give us life. But it's not just about the three things we talked about. In fact, last week I wanted to end with this in the sermon, but we didn't have time. But I want us to go to Matthew chapter 19. That's where we're going to end this morning, this idea of what is the cost of following Jesus. Because in the story in Matthew 19, starting in verse 18, in this encounter, Jesus makes it clear that there is one more thing that's required to be his followers. Not only do we understand there are no guarantees, not only do we understand that delayed obedience is disobedience, and not only do we understand that we need to look forward and not backward, but there's one more thing, and it's a big thing. And I want us to read the story together. It says in verse 18 of chapter 19 of Matthew that just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? By the way, that's still the question that people are asking today, because they get gospel and morality mixed up. Once Jesus comes into our life and starts changing us and transforming us, then we start to reflect his holiness. And that's a really great thing. But a lot of people think that if I do enough good things, then I can get eternal life. If I do more good things than bad things, then I can get to heaven. If I do that one good thing, that's going to be my ticket in. And people have been confused about that from time immortal. And Jesus answers and says, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. Essentially, Jesus is saying, listen, you're asking me about what is good because I'm the one who is good, and I'm the only one who can tell you what's good and what's not good. And he says, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. And Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept. The young man said, what do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Father, we open up our hearts to be transformed by your word today. And I pray that we wouldn't get distracted by things that would cause us to start questioning and wondering about, Lord, well, how much do I have to give away, and what do I really need to give up? Lord, help us to understand the depth of the matter here, that you call us to give up everything to follow you. So teach us today and allow us to engage all that you ask us to do as we learn how to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. This guy wants to know how to get eternal life after death. This guy who's been following the law, who's been doing all the good things, this guy is not some, you know, heathen who doesn't care about God. He actually has been trying to follow the way of God. And I don't think it's a cynical question. I don't think the guy's trying to trap Jesus at all. I think he's being real and saying, I want to know how to get to heaven, but I'm not sure I've got it just right. I want to know how to enter eternal life after death. And Jesus answers something curious. He actually doesn't give him the answer he's looking for. Have any of you ever asked God a question and he didn't give you the answer you were looking for, but he gave you the answer that you needed? God does that all the time. I want to know one thing, and the Lord says, well, you think you want to know that, but what you really need to know is something else. This guy was saying, how do I get into heaven? And Jesus certainly wasn't saying that that was an irrelevant thing to ask or to want to know. But Jesus says, let's talk a little bit deeper about this. Not just how to enter life after death, but how do you enter life right here? The kingdom of God he starts talking about, which is the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign. The kingdom of God, let's learn this together. We've talked about it before, but let's repeat it, is the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign. Say that with me. The kingdom of God is the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign. Is the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign active in eternity in heaven? Okay. Four of you passed the test. Okay. Is the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign fully active in heaven and eternal life? So Jesus isn't negating the idea that this guy wants to go into eternal life. Hear me. Because some people will preach, well, all that really matters is here. Make heaven happen here, and then the eternal life is just whatever. Don't matter. It matters very much what happens in eternal life. What we face after we die, judgment in either heaven or hell, matters very much in people's lives. And we believe that. But Jesus is saying something even deeper than how do you get a ticket to heaven? How do you get the golden ticket so that you can have it in your pocket, and when you die, you go, hey, somebody gave me this ticket, and it means I can get into heaven? Because that's what people think of is, well, hey, just put up with everything that happens on this earth, but eventually I'm going to die, and if I can just get into heaven, then none of the rest of it matters. But just as much as heaven matters to people's lives, I believe that God intended us that earth would matter in people's lives too. The life you live now matters very much. And God's desire for you and me isn't just to get a golden ticket and to sit around and wait until we die someday. God's desire for us is that we would fully enter the redemptive realm of his rule and reign right here. Amen. That we would say, God, you're in charge of my life, and I'm going to live the way you created me to live. And I don't want to just get into heaven, though I certainly want that. But Lord, I want heaven to get into me and live through me. Amen. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. We want to know how to get to heaven, and Jesus wants that for sure, but he also wants to know how to get heaven into us. So he starts with a good start. Jesus said, hey, let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the real simple place. Let's start at a place that maybe we both understand together. He's meeting this guy where he's at. And how many of you know that when Jesus is trying to teach you something, first of all, he'll so often meet you where you are right now. And he'll lead you to the place that he wants to get you. Because if he starts by a place you can't get to, you're going to just not understand. You're going to say it doesn't make any sense. And so Jesus is helping lead this guy into the reality of life. And he starts with what he knows. He said, let's start with the commandments. If you want to inherit life, if you want to step into life, not just for eternity, but right now, the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign, if you want to live the kind of life that God intended, then let's start living how God created us to live. Follow the commands. By the way, some people think that the Old Testament commands are totally not relevant anymore. And the whole Old Testament is just kind of context and prelude to the New Testament. But I believe that every word of the Bible is inspired. And I believe that the commands in the Old Testament reveal God's heart to give life to his people. When I read the Old Testament commands, I'm reading about a God who cares about a specific group of people. And yes, some of the commands are ceremonial and some of them are regionally local. So there are things that happen in that realm and that age and that day that God said, you need to follow this and follow this and follow this because it's going to differentiate you between you and all the other people around you. So I understand that some of those commands aren't as relevant today, but every command that comes from God's mouth and comes from his heart in the book, it's for our good. It's for our good. So, you know, there may be a command in the Bible that says, you know, you got to make sure you build a parapet around the upper, you know, level of your house so that nobody will fall off unintentionally. And I don't think any of us are worried about building a parapet around our house today so that nobody will fall off unintentionally. But God's heart revealed in that is that he cares about people. And we should too. God's heart, in fact, everywhere in the Old Testament where you read about something that would bring death, a command, if it's violated, would cause somebody to be put to death. And there's quite a few of those. Somebody is going to be stoned to death. Somebody's going to be put to death if they violate this command. I used to wrestle with that. I'm like, Lord, do we do that today? And I know we don't. And we don't go stone people. And how many of you are glad that we don't? We're not putting you to death for violating these commands. But one day the Lord revealed something to me that I just thought was just amazing. And now I read this actually with joy. I read through the Old Testament commands. Every time there's a command that says it's going to bring death to somebody, it reminds me that that thing is something that's going to cause death in me. What causes death in us? Disobeying the things that God created us for. So Jesus starts with these things and he says, hey, if you want to avoid death, if you want to avoid death, you want to step into life and you want to avoid death, then follow these commands, these rules. And he says, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you know that if you do those things, it's going to avoid a certain death in you, right? It's going to avoid a certain death in you. But how many of you also know that we can follow all the rules and still not experience full kingdom of God life? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. We can follow all the rules and still not experience kingdom of God life. Let me give you an example. One of the things he says, don't murder. That's pretty clear. But he says, don't commit adultery. How many of you know that if you don't commit adultery, then you're going to avoid the death that happens in marriage and relationship and between people, that when adultery happens, it brings death and brokenness and destruction. How many of you would at least nod your head and say, yes, you understand that? Yes. When adultery happens, it's going to bring brokenness and destruction and death. So avoiding adultery, you're going to avoid those kind of deaths. And I would say that's a pretty good thing. But just because you're avoiding adultery and avoiding that kind of death doesn't mean that there is a God-honoring, life-giving marriage that you're in. A God-honoring, life-giving, maybe in your singleness, in your chastity that you're in. You're avoiding the death of adultery, but you haven't yet stepped into the kind of life that God wants to give you. So you can follow the rules and say, you know what? I've never committed adultery before in my life and be proud about it, but not have any kind of a living marriage that's going to reflect the heart of God and that's going to be submitted to the kingdom of God. You know the difference between being able to follow a rule and avoid death and being able to step into the kingdom of God and embrace full life. And Jesus is saying, go ahead and start with avoiding death. Don't do those things that are going to cause death in you. And we would say, and here's what the guy said, okay, I've done that. I followed all the moral requirements. But Jesus, I'm telling you, it's not enough to get me where I want to go. I want to really enter life, and I've done every moral requirement that you told me. I've avoided death in all of these areas, but I still don't feel like I'm living the kind of life that you've called me to live. Because in religion, we can follow all the rules, but we miss the heart of God. God says these rules were set up because I love you and because I want you to walk in life, but I want not just for that, I want something even more for you. Jesus says, I want you to be perfect. How many of you would love to be perfect, right? How many of you know you're not perfect, right? Well, the word perfect, we misunderstand because in the English, perfect can mean a whole lot of things, but we always think of it as somebody without any flaw. And that's certainly part of the word, but the word teleos, which is a Greek word for perfect, actually implies not just no flaw, it means completed. It means finished. Jesus tells this guy who's followed all the moral commands, I've done everything God said to keep me away from death and brokenness, but I still don't feel life. I'm not experiencing life. I've done the things that keep me away from the bad and the broken, but I haven't yet experienced the kind of life that you called me to. And Jesus says, now you're getting it. This isn't just about avoiding the bad stuff. This is about stepping into the life I've intended for you. And if you want to be finished, if you want to be complete in that, if you want to be perfect, Jesus says, then you need to follow and trust me with no ifs, no ands, no buts. If you want your life to be complete, the way that God intended it, by the way, God created human beings, man and woman, were created complete. You were created perfect. And because sin entered the world and brokenness entered the world and all the things that are opposed to all of God's commands entered the world, our life was broken and shattered. And now humanity lives in this broken and shattered reality that no matter how many of the rules that we can follow, we're never going to put it all back together. And Jesus says, I want to perfect your life. I want to complete your life. And that only happens when you follow me. But the only way you can follow me is to let everything else go. Because there's still something holding him back. And there's still something holding us back. And if we want to follow Jesus, then nothing but Jesus is to have a hold on us. See, Jesus knew that the problem with the man wasn't so much that he was hanging on to stuff. We read the story and we go, oh, he was a rich man. And maybe he had too many riches, and maybe he just needed to give all that away to prove his love for God so that he could say, yeah, I've given it all away to the poor. And now, that wasn't it at all. Sure, he had a lot of stuff, and probably some of it should have been given away, but at the end of the day, Jesus wasn't saying, you have too much stuff. At the end of the day, I truly believe Jesus was saying, your stuff has too much of you. Your stuff has too much of you. See, it's not about what we have or don't have, but it's about what has or doesn't have us. And this rich young man had created an identity that was surrounded around not only the moral requirements of the law that he had kept. I've done all of these things just right, but I also have a lot of money and my identity is wrapped up in that. His money had him. And Jesus said, as long as something has you, you're not going to be able to follow me fully. If you truly want to enter the kingdom of God here, if you truly want to surrender to the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign in and through your life, then nothing but me can have a hold of you. And so I'm going to get right to the point, and he looks at the man, and in one of the gospel accounts, it said he loved him. Because this wasn't Jesus trying to just like, hey, dude, you don't have it. You don't have the right stuff. You can't follow me. Jesus really wanted this man to follow him. He says, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, if you want to actually step into the thing I created you for, then sell it all. Give the money away to the poor, and you're going to have kingdom, you're going to have riches in heaven. And then come follow me. I think it's hard for a lot of us with a lot of stuff to fully enter and manifest the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign. And I know that what you're thinking right now, I know what you're thinking right now. God showed me what you're thinking right now. Okay, not really. I just know what I think when I hear that. Those of us with a lot of stuff, it's hard to enter the kingdom of God. And you go, oh, I don't have a lot of stuff. That's good. I don't have a lot of stuff. I'm good. I've been reading about a lot of people with a lot of stuff. Every time I turn on the news, I see people with a lot of stuff. Every time I go outside in Southern California and look at the cars, I see people with a lot of stuff. But comparison's a real problem because it goes both ways. Anybody want me to bring Naomi back up to the platform and tell everybody how much stuff the people she lives with have? You have a lot of stuff. Every one of us is rich. And I'm not saying that to shame you. I'm not saying that to embarrass you. I'm not saying that to guilt you. That's not my intention. That's not what God wants. Listen, if you have things, then hopefully you're using them for God's glory. And hopefully you're enjoying them and you're thanking God for them, and that's great. The question isn't whether you have things. The question isn't whether you have stuff. The question is whether the stuff has you, whether the things have you. It's hard for us with a lot of things to enter the redemptive realm of God's rule and reign because we come to not only steward the things we have, but to carry the weight of what it is, and we don't trust God with it. And we say, Lord, I'll follow you, but I'm not going to trust you with my bank account numbers. Lord, I'll follow you, but I'm not going to trust you with this relationship. Lord, I'll follow you, but this job's really important to me. Lord, I'll follow you, but I've got a dream, and I'm not going to let go of it. Lord, I'll follow you, but this is the way my life is ordered, and it needs to be ordered. And the Lord says, you're going to follow me. If you're going to follow me, there are no ifs, ands, or buts. If you're going to truly follow me, then you say, Lord, whatever has a hold of me, whatever you tell me that I'm hanging on to beyond you that I need to get rid of, tell me to get rid of it and I'll get rid of it. Tell me to get rid of it and I'll get rid of it. If I'm hanging on to money, a job, security, resources, relationships, a dream, tell me what to get rid of and I'll get rid of it. By the way, can I put you at ease this morning? No? Okay. No. I won't then. When I used to hear this message, seriously, I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of guy that I hear a message and I always think it's about me. So I get really guilty. Oh man, I better give all my money away. You know, I'm 16 years old and I've got $15 to my name. And I'm like, that's a hold on me. You know, I got to get rid of the $15 somehow. Some of you are over worried about, was God telling me I need to get rid of this friendship or I need to leave my job or I need to, can I tell you that God's a good father? And can I tell you that if God wants you to get rid of something, he'll be clear about it? Oh, yeah. Yes. You don't have to over-worry it. You don't have to like come up with it yourself. If any of you leave this message and you go home and you sell everything you have and you clear out your bank account and you come back to me and go, I don't have a place to live and I have no money, but I'm ready to follow Jesus. I don't know. I might say that you were dumb. Because the first question I'm going to ask you is, is that what the Lord told you to do? And we presume, what's the Lord telling us to do? But I'll tell you what, if it's in the Bible, the Lord's telling you to do it. So if there's something you read in the Bible and it's clear, okay, I'm having a relationship with somebody I'm not married to and I'm having sex, and the Bible says, stop doing that. You don't have to ask God again. It's clear. You do. The Lord says there's certain things that the Lord is really clear, the Bible's really clear about. So we trust the Bible and we go, okay, Lord, I'm gonna trust you in this. There are other things that the Holy Spirit's gonna tell you and it'll be confirmed by the word, it'll be confirmed by people, and you just go, okay, Holy Spirit, you're telling me to do this thing and it seems crazy, but it is the Holy Spirit. But God will be clear to you if you will listen. God is speaking. He's always speaking. What does it really cost to follow Jesus? Everything I have. What does it cost to follow Jesus? Everything I have. That means I go, okay, Lord, it's yours. Use it as you want. Call me to steward it as you want. It's yours. I don't own it. I don't own my car. I don't own my house. I don't own what's in my bank account. I don't own the clothes on my back. It's yours, Lord. Lord, I don't own my dreams. I don't know my desires, my intentions. I give it all to you. See, this guy, it wasn't just about money. It was about what it had a hold on him. And only Jesus has a hold on us when we're following him truly. He'll ask for anything getting in the way of total surrender to him, because that which gets in the way of him is keeping me from him. Jesus says in Matthew 16, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Here's the thing. You could have everything in the world. You could be the richest person that ever lived. You have the best relationships, the best house, the best life. But without your soul and my soul given to Jesus Christ, then we're not going to ever enter the kingdom of God, the true realm of life and life abundantly. The true realm of God's rule and reign that he wants to manifest in me and through me. And I'm going to tell you, in eternity, when I see Jesus face to face, that's all that's going to matter. Not what I had, and especially not what had me, but who had me. And if that's Jesus, not only are you going to enter life here, but you'll have life forever. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the Church on the Way podcast. If this message has impacted you, or if you would like to support the ministries of the Church on the Way, please visit thechurchontheway.org and click on the Give tab. We hope this has been a blessing to you. Subscribe to receive a fresh word every week.